Thank you. Our next speaker, our main speaker for tonight, I'm really excited about, she's a good friend of mine. It's Leah Raley, and she's talking to us about transparency, which is another great way that we can take care of ourselves as being open and transparent with each other. So let me tell you a little bit about her, and then she'll come up. Leah grew up in Sweden as a missionary kid, and she became accustomed to living life out of a suitcase and without a family close by. Little did she know that God was preparing her for her future as a military wife. She is currently living in Virginia with her husband while he is working at DARPA, and she is a stay-at-home mom to four wonderful children and enjoys volunteering as much as possible at their various schools. With training in vocal performance and piano, she enjoys plugging into the music team at each church, and our church, you may have seen her, and she has sung at different venues across the world. Along with her love for the Lord, her husband, children, and music, she also has a love and fascination for fashion and all things sparkly. So her talk tonight actually comes from a four-part jewel study that she has spoken on in other places. And so tonight she's going to talk to us from her Ruby's one, which you will hear about. And it's called, I'm losing it, Freedom and Total Transparency. So we're excited. So come on up, Leah.
Please drink half your weight in water. That just makes me giggle. Okay. A lot of water. Oh my goodness. I'm going to go home and buy like those big orange jugs with the little. I'll have to carry that around. It'll be great. No wonder. So, yes, I am a military wife. I have four kids. I do not have preschoolers anymore, which at one point I thought I was going to have preschoolers forever, but I don't anymore. In fact, my youngest is 10, which is kind of sad to me. The oldest one is 15. I'm a missionary kid from Sweden, didn't come to the States until I was 15, didn't speak English very well, so that was kind of a rough year for me. It was my junior year in high school. But I I love the military life. I love meeting new people. I love just talking, kind of an extrovert. And one of the things that really, really I was super excited about was I was asked 5 years ago by a lady if I would write a retreat series for 3 days, and it could be about anything I loved. And I thought, okay, I love Jeremy and Jesus, but I can't imagine speaking about Jeremy. Jeremy's my husband. But what are these ladies going to think of Jeremy and Jesus by the end of these 3 days? They're not going to know what in the world to do. So that obviously could not happen. And so I talked to the lady who was in charge of it, and I thought, what more am I going to talk about? And she kept saying, well, just talk about things you love. And I realized then that I am probably the most shallow person on paper, because I realized I love sparkly things, I love fashion, and I love music. I had also just taken the love language quiz thing, and I realized that my love language is gifts and words of affirmation. So I love sparkly things, presents, nice things being said about me, music, and all things sparkly. Like, it's ridiculous on paper. It's crazy. But in this thing, in this study, it broadened my horizon so much of where God meets us. And I love jewels. I love the way they look. I love their texture. I love their colors. And I love that God meets me there. So the first series I did was called Precious Jewels. Second one I did, the next year they asked me back, which I was a little surprised about, but they asked me back. And I did In the Image of God. We talked about fashion. Who do we wear versus what do we wear? And by whom, I don't mean like Ralph Lauren and Dolce & Gabbana, obviously God. And then the last, I took a year off, and then last year I did my final in the series called Sing to the Lord. And that was my last. So I'm done. I've got nothing else to write about. Maybe baking, but I can't imagine that being something interesting either. But so here we are. But tonight I want to share transparency. And part of that is a ruby. And it's going through the study of a ruby. So in these studies, we dug through each of these gems and how they formed and how that parallels in our life. And it's really cool, actually. And that's where God has chosen to meet me. So the first thing is, you have handouts. So the definition of a jewel is this. It's a precious stone, a gem, a costly ornament, one that is treasured or esteemed. Treasured or esteemed. And I love this so much because it means that it is very, very important. It's guarded, sometimes insured, it's well cared for. It's something that is very, of great, great value. And we know that we are of great value to God. It says in 1 John 4:10 that this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We are of great significance to God, huge significance. obviously, right? He sent his only son to die for us. That's how much he loves us. We are his precious gem. So this ruby, what do you think of when you hear the word ruby? Red, July, rubies, yes, Dorothy, slippers, yeah, yeah, thanks to my mother, I got the word exotic. I was like, yeah, Mom, that's not cool. Something to write down in my book. Don't ever tell your children. Yeah. But what about transparency? Does that come to your mind when you think of rubies? And it actually is quite fascinating because rubies are very, very transparent. They show everything inside of them. And did you know that in the Bible, ruby is the most commonly named precious stone? Of all the other ones, ruby is named the most. And it's kind of weird, actually, because rubies are very, very rare. So they're kind of like God's little hidden treasures inside the earth. Geologists really don't understand how they're formed. I mean, they get the concept of how they're formed, but the complexity of the whole thing is just amazing. So corundum, by the way, you're gonna know more about rubies than you ever wanted to know when you came in here, and so I apologize, but just hang with me. The mineral that rubies and sapphires are made of is called corundum, and it's found where silica sands are not. Now, silica and iron are the most abundant elements in the Earth's crust. So they miraculously appear where these things are not. But they also need chromium, which is exceedingly rare. So how do you find these little rubies? These rubies manage to avoid silica and iron, yet can find chromium, and that is how they're formed. And you have to wonder in the world today, when we have a room like this, full of believers, in a world so full of sin and so dark, how do we end up with people who are so exceedingly rare and so precious? It's just amazing, truly. Rubies and sapphires are actually varieties of the same mineral, this corundum. And it's a hard mineral. It's composed of aluminum and oxygen. It comes in many different forms and degrees of clarity. Only the rarer, clearer crystals are classified as rubies or sapphires based on their color. You see, rubies only come in one color. It's the only stone that has that privilege. It only comes in one, and it's red. If it's not red, it's a sapphire. And that's why sapphire spectrum, all the way from like blue to green to almost purple looking, they've got the whole rainbow, basically. But if it's red, it is a ruby. And it wasn't known until the early 1800s that they were actually the same mineral, that they were that close. And rubies are formed under extreme heat and extreme pressure inside the Earth's crust. And that high pressure and temperature causes the elements responsible for the formation of the rubies to become molten, to become liquid. And when this mixture cools, these crystals are formed inside there. Now, at the rate at which it cools determines the size and clarity of these crystals. So if it cools over a long period of time, larger rubies are formed. If it cools too quickly, then smaller rubies, very fragile, damaged rubies then are formed, or maybe not even at all. But the best quality of rubies, they're found nestled inside the veins of marble, because marble is actually extremely flexible and is very strong. There are ancient buildings in Greece and Rome right still standing because it can withstand a whole lot of movement and a whole lot of weathering because they are flexible. And inside those veins, that is where the most precious rubies grow. They're completely protected. They're completely guarded. But let's just park there, though, for a little bit, because rubies do not develop quickly. They need high temperature and they need high pressure to get where they are. So it takes time and it takes pressure and it takes heat. And we don't like that. I don't want to be in a high pressure situation. I don't want to be in a high temperature situation, because when the real me comes out, it's not pretty. And nobody wants to be there. But they need that. We look for quick fixes, right? We just want to read a book and we have everything at our fingertips. We have Google, on my phone, in my car, I can talk to it whenever I want to. And I can learn how to cook by tonight. I can have better children by Friday. I can be better lovers by the weekend. I can lose 20 pounds by the next. I can spend 5 minutes with the Lord, an hour and a half in front of my television, but then I wonder, why in the world can I not hear God speaking to me? Why am I not getting the answers that I'm looking for? And so we have to wonder, are we in the Word? Are we really waiting on Him in His time? See, God operates, He created time. He operates outside of time. And He has given time to us type A personalities to thrive. I love time. I love knowing what time it is. I hate being late. Truly, truly hate. I went to a retreat a while back, a couple years ago, probably 5 years ago now, and they had taken our cell phones and watches from us. I didn't care about the cell phone. I don't care if I don't get a text or an email, or probably we didn't have texting back then, but I found myself sitting in the window, like I even know what I'm doing, looking at the sun, trying to figure out, like, by the placement of the sun, what time it was. And if I go, I even at one point made myself a little sundial to see if I could. I have no clue, but I hated not knowing what time it was. Hate it. But God has graciously given us time. But He wants His time with us. And He wants to develop us the way He wants to in His time. And sometimes that takes a long time. And sometimes our lessons are quick, thankfully. But not all of them are. So if the mixture cools too quickly, it'll limit or prevent the formation of rubies. Now, if you have your Bibles, which, super. If not, I'm going to read it anyway. So Matthew 13, 3 through 9 says this. Jesus was telling the parable of the sower here. And he says, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he scattered the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell along good soil, where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. We need to make time. We need to make sure that we're making time and setting aside time to grow in the Lord. Because we can't better ourselves until we're growing in Him, so that He can better us from the inside out. To establish deep roots, so that we can wait on the Lord and that we don't wither as soon as things get tough or rough. So corundum, like I said, is a very hard mineral. It scores a 9 on the Mohs hardness scale. Now, this Mr. Moh decided to make a hardness scale and rate all the minerals. Diamonds are a 10. They're the hardest mineral there is. Rubies are a 9. To give you perspective, pearls are a 2.5. So they're soft and they're fragile. But rubies are great, and they are a working gem. And at first I thought, what a shame to put these beautiful stones to work. I mean, really, to put them on display. But that's not the way the world works. There are working gems, and there are spotlight gems. The Hope Diamond would be a spotlight gem. Any of Marie Antoinette's jewels would be spotlight gems. But rubies are working gems. They are working hard. They actually, because they are so useful and so strong, they make long-lasting thread guides for textile machines. And ruby is even harder than steel, which also fascinating. It makes excellent bearing materials for metal shafts in watches and compasses and electric meters, which I think is fascinating. I always knew my grandfather had a watch with a ruby in it. Didn't know why. I mean, I still don't really understand it, but I love that he's got one in there. But rubies were also possessed by kings and queens from the beginning of civilization as a sign of great wealth and great importance. And rubies are a great gemstone for any ornamental jewelry because they are so strong. And you can cut them and they won't splinter off. They're great, they're strong. They can be put in earrings and bracelets and charms and wherever else you want to put them. But because of all that, because they are so highly prized and because they are so useful, they were the first gemstone to be made artificially, the first one. They wanted to reproduce it so they could use it more often. And there's two ways to make synthetic rubies, and to keep you all from falling asleep, we won't even get into all that. But just know this, that with these two techniques, they can make them so close to their natural counterpart, to the natural real rubies, that it, in all properties, like crystal structure, trace elements, color, and hardness, that it requires a highly qualified gemologist to determine the difference between them. And there is only one difference between a natural ruby and a synthetic ruby. One that's grown in the earth and one that's grown in a lab. And that is this. Synthetic rubies have no flaws. Synthetic rubies are perfect. But all natural rubies have flaws. Now they have, when you look at them, they have curves, striae, and gas bubbles in there. They're in there. That's what the stones have inside them. It happens when the molten process is going on. The fewer the number of imperfections there are, obviously increases the value of the ruby, unless there's none. If there's none, they are always classified as artificial. Isn't that fascinating? But isn't that freeing? That if we try to be perfect, that we're being fake. You can't be perfect and be real at the same time. And I love that, because that burden then has been completely lifted from me. It's beautiful. I love it. All natural rubies have perfections in them, all of them. And that is what makes them genuine. That's what makes them stand out as genuine versus being artificial or synthetic. So there's many, from earthly standards, imperfect women listed in the Bible, lots of them. And we don't have time to go through them tonight, but they're there. But they aren't flawed. They are real. They are real women who God used. And they're a mess. We're all a hot mess. We all have issues. We all have sinful just baggage going on all the time. And sometimes we have a physical limitation. Sometimes we have a disability or a sickness or a weakness. But God uses them, and it makes them us. It makes us genuine. Every one of those things. God uses people in their weakness, their sickness, and at times, even in spite of our disobedience. But the freedom in that is so great to me. I just love it. And we live in a culture where we're told we need to look a certain way, and we need to dress a certain way, and we need to act a certain way. But don't be fake. Don't be fake in what you do, but make sure you're perfect. And we all know that's just not, that doesn't work. And in fact, if you're going to be, I mean, if you're going to try to act the way the world wants us to, then we need to be okay with the fact that we're not going to be real. If we're going to be what people want us to be, then that's not us. That's not us. We need Jesus, and we need to be okay with the fact that we can't do it on our own. We need to be okay with the fact that we are a hot mess. I have four children, and when my children were around, I had four children in 5 years. It was chaos at our house. Ashton was five when Sophia was born, and I had a 15-month-old and a 3-year-old in between their two, nestled so sweetly. It was chaos. People ask all the time, how did you do it? Yeah, I don't even know. It was kind of a blur. I remember, like, there were many days my husband came home and there's everybody's crying. We're sitting on the couch just crying. He's a sweet man. We're still married. It's lovely. But I, fortunately, as a military mom, did not have my mom living nearby me. But I fortunately was able to align myself with godly women who could speak wisdom into me and who could speak practical advice into me. You know, it doesn't have to be organic food. It truly is. And I know 5 veggies is great, but if you go a day and you don't eat veggies, you're going to be okay. I promise. We had deployments. Look, there were days, well, I wouldn't tell you, we ate cornflake hot dogs, but it was bad. But you know, we survived. We survived, and that's what we had to do. But I had people speaking common sense, and I even had people speaking correction into me. And here's the reason why. Because they loved me enough not to let me fall into that fake sense of perfection. That somehow I had to make sure that what we looked at, looked like from the outside, was that people would love me more, or that they would think that I have all this together. Because we certainly didn't. And we have to recognize that we're not perfect. I love a mentor-mentee relationship. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And as this new year is starting, if there's anything that I encourage more is, if you don't have a mentor, go find one. Don't make them come and ask you, because that's just embarrassing. I had a lady one time ask me if she could be my mentor. This was, we lived in Ohio at the time, and at first I thought, what? Does she not know me? And then I went home and realized, oh my gosh, she knows me. So she was lovely, and I did. I humbled myself and said, yes, I need you in my life. Desperately need you in my life. It was beautiful. But don't make them ask you. It's just awkward. Really awkward. Nobody wants to ask to be a mentor. But I would highly encourage you to go seek one out if you don't have one, because that is very honoring to go and find someone. Anyways, all that to say is we know that we need other women. Not to fix our problems, but to go through our problems with us, alongside us. It's different than our husbands. It's different. These are ladies who can cry alongside you, and who can hold your hand, and who just have been through the same things we've been through. Because here's the thing. When they're evaluating genuine rubies, they have to hold them. Physical contact is a beautiful thing. Praying with someone and holding someone's arm and hand and just hugging, that's a beautiful thing. And when you're evaluating a ruby to find out if it's what its value is, if it's genuine or artificial or where it's coming from, they have to hold it. They have to weigh it. I would never let my mentor weigh me, but, you know, whatever. But they weigh it. They look into it, And they're looking through it to make sure it's okay. They're looking for all the properties of these stones. So physical contact is very, very important. We're the same way. It is very easy to look perfect on the outside. Pictures hide a lot. Social media can hide a lot of stuff. I can pretend pretty well on Facebook, but it's all that. It's not real. So what do people see when they see you? Do they see a woman who always has everything together? Do they see someone who never, ever messes up? We tend to place so much value on what we look like to determine who we are. Like somehow my outfit tonight, which is probably the fourth or fifth one I put on because I just wasn't sure what to wear, that this is going to let you know that my children are always obedient and that we're always on time for everything and that we never argue and that my husband and I never, ever have disagreements. And I can tell you right now, that is not true. So what we put on the outside doesn't matter. It can't mask what's on the inside. And let me tell you, we're wives, we're moms, we're supposed to be tough, we're supposed to just deal with it, you know, right? We can get through this, we can do it. Don't admit you need help. That's what people will tell you. Don't admit you can totally do this, right? We can have our phone call and our kid on our hip and stirring whatever's in the pot on the stove at the same time and doing the correction snap with that toddler who's fooling around. We can do all that. And that's crazy, right? But would we invite everybody in to watch us do that? No, not at all. I wouldn't. But life is hard, and life hurts, and life is lonely sometimes. And that's why having someone and accountability, even for exercise and food, accountability is a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's great, but we need each other, but that means we have to die to pride. I struggle with vanity and pride. I can stand up here and tell you this because I've been able to be free from to being a slave to perfection. I have a problem with vanity and pride, and I have to make sure that when I get ready in the morning and get dressed, which I love to do, I just think it's fun, and let me tell you a little secret in the choir, we have a color wheel. And we get to choose. They give us a color, and I love trying to find an outfit within that color. Like, it's just super fun. Others probably don't like it as much. I think it's fantastic. However, when I do, I'm not getting dressed to show how good I am, or that shouldn't be my goal. And I have to be very careful that I am submitting to God every morning when I do get dressed, because it's something I struggle with. But when I get dressed, I need to make sure that what is the picture is a woman who forgives, a woman who is extending mercy and kindness and love and gentleness and forgiveness. Those are the things that I need to, that my outfit should be showing. Not how perfect my house is, because I have a laundry problem. Mile high. It's bad. It's so bad. And I think God has a great sense of humor. He gave me four children that are so very different from each other and so very different from me. Like, it's crazy sometimes. And they are my reminder of how prideful I can be constantly. Because I have Ashton. Ashton is 15. He plays the timpani in the church. He's the man child. He's not a man. He's only 15. But he loves to wear bow ties that are super bright and shirts. Oh, he doesn't wear jeans to church, but when he wears jeans every day of his life otherwise, and a bright neon colored t-shirt, it drives me crazy. Because neon to me is just, it's like the blue LED lights on Christmas trees. Like, I can't even look at them. Like, it's crazy. My second son, he's 13, Preston, he plays the tuba. He would wear sweatpants, which is really funny because he's not an athlete, but he would wear like athletic gear or pajamas every day of his life because he likes comfort. Well, it drives me crazy because he looks so sloppy constantly, but it's not about me. And then there's Trenton and Sophia. Trenton is 11. He, God bless him, he has zero sense of fashion. Zero sense of fashion. He, his go-to outfit, I kid you not, for two years, people, green camo pants, yellow and blue striped shirt and a tie-dye sweatshirt that went over. And every day he'd come downstairs and he would wear it all the time. It was like nails on a chalkboard. But again, not about me. And if he could wear black socks, he would, because they were also his favorite. I And Sophia, finally after three boys, we had a little girl. Sophia believes that if it sparkles, it matches. Doesn't matter what color, doesn't matter what shape or pattern, if it sparkles, it matches. And if you put a hair bow covering all the colors you're wearing, it pulls it all together. And that is Sophia. And she's, it's crazy. We're like a circus act walking by. But it's not about me, right? It's not about me. I had a mentor of mine from Ohio, coincidentally the one who told me that she needed to be my mentor, which I love her. She told me one time when the kids were really young that what, probably because I was crying, but she said, what brings tears of frustration about them today is what brings tears of joy and laughter about them when they're older. And I just thought, okay. But it was because of her that I started writing down everything the kids said. And so when Ashton turned 10, I wrote a book called 10 Years of Great Quotes and Good Laughs. When he turns 20, I'll write another one. Because I keep collecting them. And they're hilarious. Kids are funny, so enjoy them. I mean, yes, they make you cry like crazy, but they're funny. And there's a time and a place for teaching proper fashion, obviously. But if I am always correcting them because I feel that they're making me look bad and they're ruining my facade of perfection, then they're not the problem. Then I'm the problem. This is my sin. It's my pride that's the problem. And I have to be surrounded with women who are strong, because I can be a little strong-willed at times. But I need to surround myself with people who are bold enough to tell me, knock it off. Knock it off. It's not about you. Because I'm not perfect. Oh, my word, no. I have bad roots. I have zits. I eat marshmallows out of the bag. I have a serious laundry problem. Like, it's, oh, I hate laundry so much. I don't make my bed every morning. We were talking about that. Yeah, totally not. No. I don't even vacuum every day. I hate taking the trash out so much that I will stuff that bag so full the lid won't even close. And then finally, you know, like with the suction when you can't even get it up? Oh my gosh. And then it rips and that makes me mad. But I scream at my kids when I lose my temper. Sometimes when I don't lose my temper. I have told them to shut up. I'm proud of that. But I have lied, I've manipulated, I've cussed, I've been rude, I've been disrespectful, I've been impatient, I've been judgmental. I struggle with vanity and pride, and I can be arrogant. But the most important thing is I have been forgiven. I have been forgiven because we recognize the sin, the flaws, the distortions in our lives, and we can be forgiven for those. Because God sent Jesus for people like you and me. He sent women to go through the same things that we have gone through, and sometimes they've gone through them better than we have, and we can learn from them. God sent Jesus so that we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to do that, because we can't. You can't be perfect and real at the same time. It's not possible. Romans 3:10 says, there is no one righteous, no, not one. We need Jesus. He doesn't want a ruby without flaws. Because they're not real. We need to be transparent. We need to expose our flaws for what they are, and what our needs are, and what our hurts are, and what our struggles are, and what our sins are. And we need to be genuine rubies. And we need to be transparent. We need to be real. Before we go to discussion, is that what we're doing now? I'm going to pray, but I just want to say this too, is I really, with this new year, I know I said it before, but the mentee-mentor relationship, you have no idea. I always assumed that I'm going to be blessed beyond measure by the person that's going to mentor me. But it is such a blessings go both ways kind of a thing. And they become like family members. So if you don't have one, someone to pray with on a regular basis, meet with on a cry with on a regular basis, run with on a regular basis, I highly encourage you to find that for the new year. Because they will help you be real. Our freedom is knowing that our value comes from not being perfect. Because that's why God sent Jesus. We don't have to be perfect. Our perfection is not where we're valued. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for releasing the burden of perfection off of us. I thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, there are so many areas of our lives that we tend to hide, and I pray for boldness, Lord. I pray that we would expose those areas. I pray that there's no fear in being real. We need you, Lord. We need women you've put around us. Help us to die to self and to be ready for you to bless us. Bless us as we walk out of here, be with each family that's represented here. And we love you and praise you. Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, Leah. She's my friend. Did I say that? I love her. And she's very, very genuine. So I'm grateful to have her. And I'm grateful that you took your time to speak to us. So thank you so much. We have some discussion questions at the table. They're actually at the bottom of the sheet that was on your table for notes. And I think they're up on the screen as well. So you can have that. Our next meeting is going to